as I've mentioned before, on the website, there is a slideshow with a lot of notes regarding the Gospel of John that I put together at the beginning of this series, and it's worth having a look at that. And one of the things mentioned on there is that in the Gospel of John, there are occasions where Jesus says, "I am," and then goes on to say about himself what they call the seven I am statements. And today we will be seeing the third and the fourth of those I am statements. I am the gate for the sheep, and I am the good shepherd. Our title this morning, The Good Shepherd or The Thief. Let's have a read. John chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees," be aware, please, right from the beginning, he's speaking to the Pharisees now. "I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Now the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees, they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture." And then in verse 10, Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy." And I'm going to break off there. Mid-verse. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And let's explore just for a moment the thief. What does the thief do? The thief comes only to steal, to kill, to destroy. Have you felt the effect of the thief in your own life, in your family's life, within your community? Who is the thief? We believe that Jesus is talking about Satan. Jesus is talking about the devil. And let us not pretend or imagine that the devil is a fictitious character. He exists, and he is the enemy of Jesus. He is the enemy of God's people. What forms does the enemy, what forms does Satan take today? What forms of influence does he take today? Perhaps shout out some answers for me. Multimedia. Okay. Thank you. There's so much stuff. Lies. Thank you. Terrorism, absolutely. Negative words. Pornography. Addiction. Depression. Greed. Isolatedness. I don't know how you say that. Isolation. People live in so much in isolation these days. How do you feel when you have been the victim of the thief? The thief. How do you feel when you have been the victim of a thief? Violated. Mm-hmm. Thieves can destroy lives. Okay, so we're talking about Satan, the thief, in the Bible. And of course, thieves and robbers in our world today. And some of us have had experiences like that. Back in 1989, the same year as the Romanian Revolution. But for me, well, I was 21 years old and I was not in Romania. I was working at Kodak in Headstone Lane, Harrow. Anyone know the place? Anyone been there? Yeah? Headstone Lane, and on one side of the road, you've got the factory, the direction I came, going slightly down the hill, you've got the factory on the left, and the works car park on the right. Now, anyone like Gareth would have, well, you would have probably had a special pass for the car park over here, the other side of the road, but for everyone else, the system was, it was a massive car park, and it just went back and back and back and back. You know, and anyone who was 21 years old, come on, you're not going to get there sort of massively early and start, you know, we started work at 8. So I would sort of turn up at 5 to 8 or whatever. By which time, all the diligent people that get there at like 7:30, they'd got all the spaces near to the road. And I was like massive. And it was a massive walk. Did you ever go in the car park? It's a really long walk. I mean, a long walk from the back to Headstone Lane, then you had to cross over, and then you had quite a lot of zigzagging through the factory as well. And at the time, I had my Morris Marina, which I'd bought from my father for £150, and I'd bought a stereo to go in it, the BL ones that you had, and it was already old, the car. And I probably spent as much on the stereo as I did on the car. And being diligent and sensible, I thought if I put it in the slot on the dashboard, people will see it and they'll steal it. So we got it inserted into the glove compartment, which was a little bit awkward because as you were driving along, you had to sort of lean over and turn it up or down. But at least it was hidden. However, foolishly, the speakers, those big sort of extra ones, they were put on the parcel shelf in the back. So you don't really need me to tell you the rest of the story. 4:15 or whatever it was on some occasion, returned to the car. We used to work from 8 o'clock till 4 o'clock. And what did I find? You know, and they make such a mess as well. It's not just the stereo that's been, but they've ripped it out. So now the glove compartment thing is all broken and so on. I found that I went back into the office. I don't know what I thought, you know, my boss could do about it. But I went, you know, in that sort of situation, I walked all the way back to the office and said, someone stole my stereo. And they said, well, you better phone the police. There's nothing they could do. Phone the police. Of course, there's nothing the police could do. But then a day or two later, sometime later, I got a phone call from victims of crime. They said, oh, wow, you know, have they found my stereo? Or are they gonna? Is there some special fund to help, you know, like a charity that helps people like Mark whose stereo's been stolen? But of course, all they wanted to do was offer me counselling and sort of get over the trauma of it. For goodness sake, I'm 21 years old. I want my stereo back and I want the car fixed. I don't want nice words or counselling or whatever. I wanted to get back what had been stolen. And our verse is this: the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I wanted to get back. I wanted to make right what had been destroyed. And one of the words someone said, you know, violation. You feel violated. Many years later, I had a car in Romania, and it wasn't a stereo that got stolen. It was an estate car, and it didn't have one of those covers on it, so it was visible what was in there. And it was just a box with a pair of wellies and a torch and a few things that you ought to have for when you're going out and about. I'd parked up at a place, we'd gone for a walk, got back, the whole lot had been taken. And you feel violated. One of the things is sometimes you don't even know absolutely everything that's been stolen because you've got to try and remember what was in that box, you know. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. And we ask the question, who is the thief? What does the thief do? What forms does he take today? Obviously, as technology advances, the thief will engage with modern technology, which is the point that Sheila was making. But obviously, the thief has been stealing right back in the Bible times, very old-fashioned methods. I don't think the thief really minds whether it's old-fashioned or modern. The old-fashioned, the thief will get you where it hurts, because the thief's desire is to kill and to destroy and to steal. Satan is named in the Bible. That's his name, Satan. He's also known as the devil. He's known as the thief. He's known as a deceiver. So just a few verses. They're up there on the screen for you. You don't really need to look at them, but if you wanted to, make notes on it for later. So in 2 Corinthians, we're told that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. You know what that word means, masquerades? He wears a mask. Masquerades. He goes around with a mask on. Pretends to be an angel of light. In 1 Thessalonians, do you ever feel at times within church, within family, plans get frustrated? You're trying to do something and something's preventing you. This is what Paul says to the Thessalonian church. We wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did. Again and again, I wanted to come to you, but Satan blocked our way. Did you know that was in the Bible? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. In John chapter 8, Jesus tells us, the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And then in 1 Peter, we're given a warning, be alert, stay sober. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Links in with the verse that we're our main passage today. Destroying. You know? And finally, if you want to know, well, where did Satan come from? We get a glimpse of this. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who destroys, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. We believe that Satan was created by God and is in rebellion to God. His time is short. He knows that his end is nigh. And he wants to do the most destruction that he can until the time of his end. What does the thief steal? What does the thief steal? Things like joy and steal salvation. Actually trying to steal people from hearing the word of God and believing the word of God and accepting the word of God. Thank you, Henry. What else is he stealing? wanting to steal hope. I've been saying Satan steals joy and peace. The good life that God wants us to have. Relationship. That trusting relationship. You know, the psalmist says, Psalm 23, you lead me beside still waters. You restore my soul. And Satan wants to steal that. The Jewish people had that word shalom, didn't they? That meant peace, but the whole package peace. You know? I'm going to start again, if you don't mind. John 10, start with verse 1. So we'll build up to the first half of verse 10, and then we'll carry on, because we've focused on the thief. Now we're going to focus on Jesus. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees. Remember, he's addressing the Pharisees. Anyone who does not enter by the sheepfold, doesn't enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, that person is a thief and a robber. Now, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now, Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, there's a third factor here. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus, verse 14. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me, says Jesus, is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Jews who heard these words were, again, as you can imagine, divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" As we said at the beginning, Jesus in this whole passage is addressing the Pharisees. Verse 1, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees," said Jesus. And he's addressing them because it relates to them. Jesus says, "Anyone who does not enter by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, that person is the thief." And of course, the way we enter the kingdom of God is by grace, through faith. It's through Jesus and his sacrifice. The way we enter into relationship with God is through Messiah. But the Pharisees were always trying to find some other way. Were they not trusting in their own righteousness, their own rightness? "We do everything right," was effectively their message. And they looked down on everyone who did things wrong. Jesus surely is talking directly to them and saying, "You're trying to get in by some other way, and you absolutely are thieves and robbers." The sheep, the real sheep, they hear the shepherd, they know the shepherd, and they recognize his voice. We have to ask ourselves the question, do we recognize the voice of Jesus? And the true sheep are aware of the presence of the strangers, and they will not follow the strangers. As believers in Jesus, we need to hear the voice of Jesus through the scripture that we're reading, through counsel when we meet one with another, through God tugging on the cords of our hearts. We need to be listening to the voice of Jesus. We need to be aware of the voice of the strangers, the thieves, the robbers who want to bring us off track. Have a look at verse 8 for me, would you please? "Therefore Jesus said, all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them." And I've been looking at this and thinking, is he referring to all who have come before me, like the patriarchs, like the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament greats, you know, the great people in the Old Testament, the prophets and the patriarchs, people like Moses, Abraham, and so on. And I have to say, it can't be. It can't be referring to the great people of the past, because in Hebrews 11 we're told there's a whole list of them in Hebrews 11, and it says that these were all commended for their faith. I think Jesus is referring to all who have come before him, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaders that have been taking people off course for so long. And one of the things, of course, that the people, we read it, they marvel at times and say, you know, this guy's different from all the others. He speaks with authority. Then we get to this verse 10. "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And if you look on the notes that I'm talking about earlier on, the slideshow that we've got on the website, we list that there are three great reasons given in this Gospel of John. The Gospel itself states three great reasons. The Father's reason for sending Jesus: God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We've got the Father's great reason. We've got, at the end of it, the author's great reason. These things have been written that you may believe, and in believing you may have life in his name. And now in the middle of this book, in John 10, Jesus declares his reason for coming. If someone asks you, what is Christmas all about? What is Easter all about? Why did Jesus come to earth? You could quote just this one verse and you'd be spot on. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Our subject this morning, the good shepherd or the thief. If you were to compare the two, the thief versus the good shepherd, the thief steals, Jesus lays down his life, his everything. The thief comes for what he can get. Jesus came for what he could give. And he gave everything. Do you think God could have paid someone else to do the job that Jesus did? Sometimes if you've got a job that's not very nice, like getting the muck out of the gutters and you have to go up a ladder, sometimes you've tried it yourself and you say, do you know what? Just, I haven't got a head for heights. You decide, actually, I'd rather pay someone to do that. We all know that sometimes we pay someone else to do a job that we don't feel comfortable doing. Could God have paid someone? It's here in the text. He couldn't. Look at verse 12. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. You see, Jesus is not hired to do this job of good shepherd. He owns the sheep. Only Jesus could bring salvation. So we could ask a question, does he own you? Does he own me? Does he own us? Do we allow him to own us? Do we yield ourselves to him? No one could have done what Jesus did for money. Jesus laid down his life for love, because he loves us. And then in verse 14, Jesus says, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. That is one of the blessings of church, of Jesus' church. That is one of the blessings of salvation, of being a child of God. It is the comfort and the security that comes from being known and knowing Jesus. In fact, if you look on our website on the section of belonging, we talk about being known and knowing, being loved and loving, being served and serving, expressed in a local church context. Then verse 16, this is a verse that would have annoyed the Jewish people probably like crazy, because the Jewish people like to keep their God to themselves. The tragedy was they didn't enjoy their God, but they didn't want anyone else to have their God either. What a tragedy, yeah? And Jesus says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. Surely he's talking about outside of the Jewish nation. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. If any of you are asking, how does the church fit into Israel? How does the church fit into God's old time? There isn't one and the other. We are all together. There is one flock and one shepherd. And finally, one of the themes that we've been flagging up all the time is Jesus' constant declaration that he does what his Father has called him to do. And here again in verse 17, we're told, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. God the Father is celebrating Jesus the Son because he's doing the very thing he's been called to do. Look at verse 18. No one takes my life from me, says Jesus, but I lay it down of my own accord. If you read the accounts in the Gospels of the crucifixion of Jesus, you might be fooled into thinking that the Romans put him to death. But Scripture makes it clear he went willingly to die because he loves you, because he loves us. No one forced him to go to the cross. Now, this message of salvation will cause division, and as expected in verse 19, we see that, as always, the Jews were divided on this subject. But we and our world today is divided on this subject of Jesus. Verse 19 says, the Jews who heard these words were again divided. They kind of formed two camps. Many of them said he's demon-possessed and raving mad. We don't need to listen to him. But others were saying, hang on a minute. These aren't the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And so for the question for the people then, 2,000 and something years ago, and the question for us today, and for our world and our community, is really this. Jesus, what do you say about Jesus? What's your verdict? Is he raving mad? Or is he Messiah? They had to choose. We have to choose. Put the choice a different way. Who are you going to follow? You're going to follow the thief? Or are you going to follow Jesus? John 10, verse 10. How many of you struggle learning memory verses? I do. And the worst bit is the reference bit. You can remember the words bit, but it's the reference, you know? But this is one of the easiest in all of them because it's 10, 10. Chapter 10, verse 10. John 10, 10. The thief comes only to kill, to steal, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Thanks be to God. Amen.